verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. See, He's giving an illustration here. He tells us about the childhood of this heir, and then him becoming a full age. And then He reminds us of the law as being an immature thing, and being under tutors and governors, and then full maturity coming. What does verse 4 say? When the fullness of time was come, that's maturity, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And what did He come under the law to do? To do away with that law and to give us something better, more perfect and more mature and with fullness. Well, at the time determined by the Father, God the Father, He sent forth God the Son in this way through Mary, who was a Jewish woman. What was God's purpose in sending forth His Son? Verse 5. It's just a little story we're following along. Verse 5 says, why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Adoption. So God has this twofold purpose. To redeem us from the law, that is to buy us back from that system. And then once He's got us, He has a second purpose, and that is to adopt us and make us His own. Now, you could buy a slave, you could redeem them, and them become yours in a way, but to make him your son would be a totally different step that most masters never take. But Christ wanted to do just that. He wanted to adopt us. And adoption is a beautiful thing. We think of adoption a little bit differently than what we're talking about here in Scripture, but it's all a beautiful thing. All right? Now, right here in the room, we've got Joe and Sarah, who are currently adopting Weston, and we understand what we mean by adoption when we talk about that. It's a beautiful thing. Did we get our shirt Sunday, by the way? Did Miss Kimberly get her shirt? Okay. They are raising money, what, for the adoption? Is that right? Okay. Okay, you're raising some money toward this end and selling some shirts that say what? I heart adoption. I love adoption. That's great. Miss Kimberly got one, and we all have a heart for that, don't we? We certainly should, and we're about to see even more of why. Of course, we think of adoption these days under those terms. Somebody who does go to a place like that looking for someone who needs to be adopted, and your hearts are attracted to someone, God leads you to someone, and you adopt them into your family through legal action. Well, when the little one becomes their child, it's adopted. However, the Roman custom in Paul's day was to adopt your own son. That's what you did here at this Toga Virilis. That's what happened in this ceremony, is that you took your own son and decided, I'm going to give you son status, something you've never had. You came out of mama but became one of the servants, but I have chosen you and I am adopting you into the family as my own son. The word adoption in the Greek word translated adoption right here means to place as a son. So, what happens to us spiritually when we are adopted? A believer is placed into the family of God as a full-grown son, capable of understanding divine truth. Let's shift gears and talk about this now. Why are we adopted into God's family with full-grown status instead of an immature status? Though we know that we don't know a whole lot, why does God see us as full-grown? Well, listen to 1 Corinthians 2. Beginning in verse 9, it says, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Okay, it's talking about God revealing truth to us. And how does he reveal truth to us? By his Spirit. It says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. You know, there's a lot of deep things in this book, aren't there? This is the Bible, by the way, for those who don't know, this tiny thing is the Bible. People question how spiritual you could be with this tiny little Bible. But there's a lot of deep things, even in this checkbook-sized Bible here. And how could we ever understand them apart from the Spirit of God? We cannot. This verse states that as a fact. The truth of the Word of God can only be interpreted, and only understood through the Spirit of God. Man can't understand it. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're blind unless the Spirit open our eyes. And that is what makes the difference today in different men in this world, different women in this world. One person can come to the Word of God. They have a brilliant mind. They can learn a lot about its history and the culture and the archaeology and the languages, become an expert in Hebrew and Greek and biblical customs, and yet totally miss all the meanings. Do you need proof of that? Just watch A&E or the History Channel sometime and look at these so-called experts and theologians that they have come on talking about the Bible who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They don't have the Spirit interpreting things for them, and it's no wonder they say such stupid things, you know? And the devil uses them to lead many people astray, by the way. The Spirit of God has got to be the teacher. Even Isaiah the prophet said, Isaiah 64:4, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. That's the very verse that was being quoted in Corinthians, what I just read to you. If you want to know about Christ, only the Spirit of God can reveal him to you. Even a mature Christian who's been in the Word for years is as helpless in studying the Bible as a newborn babe in Christ without the Spirit of God teaching us and helping us along. So here's the good news. Even if you are one of our newer believers, the same Spirit of God who is teaching me is teaching you. If you are a child of God, if you are God's child, He has brought you into the position of a full-grown son. He's adopted you, given you full-grown status, not like the law would have given you. And there's nothing quite as wonderful as that. This brings us to something else that faith in Christ does for us that the law could never do for us. Faith in Christ offers us not only sonship, not only full-grown sonship, but also the experience of a son. The experience of a son. Let me explain. Verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's what I've titled this message, Abba, Father. What a sweet phrase that is. Now notice verse 6 says, because ye are sons. That's a very strong statement. It says, because of this incredibly wonderful opportunity you have as full-grown sons, because of this, you're going to have a great experience. Romans 8:16 says it this way. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children, that is, the sons of God. Paul continues to say in Romans, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live after the Spirit, this is what we're debtors to, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live as sons, is the idea there. Then it says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now hang with me here. Let the Spirit of God help you with a deep thought, okay? As only He can. If you are a child of God, you want to be led by the Spirit of God. And the flesh may get some victories in your life, but it'll never make you happy. You'll never again be satisfied with it because the Bible says you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear. So here's the deep point. You need not say, I've been living in sin. I've been messing up as a Christian. And so I wonder if I'm even saved. This is what the devil tries to do in the hearts of true believers, is to get them to doubt their salvation because They've messed up because they've sinned, because they've gotten away from God in some regard. You don't need to say, well, since I haven't been living right, I guess maybe I am not a child of God. Okay? Because ye have received the spirit of adoption, according to this verse we're on right now, verse 6, ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That is the experience of knowing that you are a child of God. Let me explain. Found in verse 6, Abba, Father. The word Abba specifically, I'm told, was not translated because it's not an English word, in other words. It was not translated because the translators of our Bible were above all honest and had a great reverence for the Word of God. And when they came to the word Abba, they didn't dare translate it into English because it's such an intimate word. And I think that the King James translators made this personal judgment call themselves. Maybe they were led by the Spirit of God not to do this. I don't know. Because the only translation that they could really come up with for Abba would be Daddy, my Daddy. You see, God is our wonderful Heavenly Father, and we would hesitate to just call Him Daddy, right? Because of all that the Bible tells us about the reverence that we should have for Him. It's hard to imagine calling Him Daddy. However, in our hearts, we do have that experience. That is how we can feel about Him. Verse 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So the Spirit gives us this experience of being a son of God, and we can cry out, not just saying it as empty words, we can cry out literally, Abba Father, to God our Father, because the Spirit of God helps us have this experience that we feel this bond and this closeness to Him as our Abba Father. Now there's many people, many religious groups today who believe that the only way that you can have an experience with God is by attaining some high level of sanctification. Or you've got to become so holy that then you can have an intimate experience with God. Or you have to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know there's many groups who teach that. They insist that if you don't get up to that level, then you will never have that experience. Let me assure you tonight that if you're a new believer or consider yourself a weak believer, you can have an experience as a son of God without reaching these levels that these groups tell us to, because sonship comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ, and He makes us a full-blown, adopted, full-grown child of God. When people reach a high level of spirituality, you know what happens to them? They usually start to look down their nose at others, get on a big superiority kick, you know, like the Pharisees did. Why aren't the rest of you as holy as me? That's their attitude, you know. When we know the truth, we are all actually just foolish little children. I don't care how far along you've come spiritually, in our sight, we are just foolish little children of God. It's amazing that He gives us the position that He gives us when we have the person that we know that we are. We're filled with ignorance and stubbornness and sin and fears and weaknesses and doubts. We are never wonderful. He is always wonderful. The Lord Jesus is awesome, and faith in Him will give us this amazing experience as children of God, where we can call Him Abba Father. One preacher said, the old nature that you and I have is just like an old dead cat. What you need to do is reach down and get the old dead cat by the tail and throw it as far away from you as you can. That's what he said. And I say amen to that, and I wish I could get rid of my old nature. Problem is, mine has 9 lives and then some. You know? When you throw him away, he's going to come back tomorrow and the next day. We'll never become perfect saints of God here on this earth, will we? But we can experience full sonship because it was purchased at the price of Jesus' blood. this verse says, because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir. That's beautiful, isn't it? Well, let me encourage you tonight before we're done. Many times we plod through this life, don't we? Our Christian lives, many days we just have to plod through. We don't have, some days, we don't have quite as great of experience with God as we have on other days. You know what I'm talking about tonight? You have some bad days, you have some low times. Earth is a roller coaster ride even for the believer. Sometimes life becomes very drab, a little monotonous, but there are other times when God gives us a wonderful experience. And you know, it's amazing to me how often that those most wonderful experiences come when we've gone through a trial or a time of testing, hardship, or difficulty, that we have some of our most wonderful experiences with our Abba Father, our Heavenly Father. Been 3 years ago now when I was having some seizures and they were just completely sneaking up on me and I couldn't control them and things would spin or go black or I would start to pass out. I got very nervous about life at that point and had a bunch of tests done and that sort of thing. My wife, most of you know, has had some different scary health possibilities over the last few years, some scary possible diagnoses which have all been proven negative in the end, which is great. But as we went through some of those things, we were fairly frightened. I can speak for myself at least and say I was pretty frightened because I'm pretty much a coward when it comes to stuff like that. I don't like hospitals. I thank God for them, but I still don't like them. And I have visited hospitals so many times in the last 20 years, in hospitals all the time. I was in the hospital today visiting one of our own. And I visited in that hospital and other hospitals many, many hundreds of times. But sitting in the hospital myself, being held overnight, or sitting with Miss Kimberly when she had some scary things or surgeries even recently, I had to say, Lord, I've been here many times and I've patted people on the hand and told them that You would be with them and everything was going to be all right. And I prayed with them and then I walked out. But Lord, I'm not walking out today. I've got to stay today. It's me now and I don't really know what the outcome is going to be. And I've got to be real transparent and honest with You, Lord. I'm a little nervous about things. And you know, I had some things I wanted to tell God. I wanted to tell Him how I believed He needed to work it out. You know, I had a plan. My will be done on earth. May it be in heaven as well, please. And I welled up inside sometimes and finally just came down to it. And Kimberly and I said, Lord, Father, Abba, Father, we are in Your hands. And, you know, we can think of all the worst, what's going to happen to you know, my spouse, what's going to happen to our children, what's going to happen to the church, what's going to happen to my camper, who's going to take care of things, who's going to pay the bill, what's, you know, you can worry about all sorts of things. But we said, Lord, we're in Your hands. And whatever You want done, You do it, and we trust You. You're our Father, and we have come to trust You because You've proven Yourself to be trustworthy. He's wonderful to us. And that's when He becomes a reality, is in some low times. I was just sharing some of my recent personal experiences. You're thinking of your own now, right? If not, do that, because that's when you really experience Him as your Abba Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children, the sons of God. Now, I promise you, I don't wish you any trouble in your life, but I think it's generally in times of trouble that God really is most successful at making himself real to us in the way that that he needs to. There was a pioneer missionary years ago, John G. Patton, in the island chain called the New Hebrides. He went to the mission field as a young man with his young bride. And when their first child was born, the child died, and his wife died. He buried them with his bare hands. He was all alone on this island, and because he was among cannibals on this island chain, he had to sit over the grave of his wife and newborn stillborn child for many days and many nights to keep them from digging up the bodies and eating them. His testimony was, in the end, was that if his Lord Jesus Christ, his Abba Father, had not made himself so real to him during that time, he would not have gone on with life. He would have gone mad. It's when we go through times of distress that God makes himself real to us. And when Paul was in prison, here's what he said. He said in 2 Timothy 4, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding, or however, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Paul was admitting, I was never closer to the Lord than when I was all alone, and when I was suffering in some way. The Lord stood by Paul. He stood by this missionary Patton. He stood by me. And ladies and gentlemen, he will stand by you no matter what you're going through, no matter what you go through in the future. We need to have confidence right now while we're strong. Lord, keep us strong when we go through the valley and when we go through hard times, that we will always sense and experience you, knowing you're our Abba Father and that we have full sonship in you if we are saved. It's reassuring to have a Father like that. It really is. Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now that's a promise, isn't it? That's black ink on white paper, and I love it. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I love the relationship with God. You know, we say Heavenly Father all the time, but do we really think of Him in the terms of an Abba, Daddy, Father? We talk about being the children of God all the time, but do we realize what it means to be a son, an heir, a joint heir with Christ? I call you brother and sister. You call me, hopefully, just brother. We call each other brother and sister, but do we really know what we are saying here? This relationship is extra, extra special, isn't it? It's something that goes beyond just blood. I'm thankful that it's all made possible by the blood of Christ. I consider myself a blood relative to you that are saved and to my Lord Jesus through His blood. But in case there's any doubt, He says, "And you are adopted, and the robe is put on your back the moment that you get saved. The toga virilis is done, and you are no more the servant. You're an heir." And just as the Father took back that prodigal son, your Heavenly Father will take you back. If you've been away from Him, you can come back and you don't have to do penance, you know. You don't have to put your time in. You don't have to do all kinds of unspeakable things to try to make it up to the Lord. He is thrilled that you're back, just like the Father was. He says, "Welcome home, son. Welcome home, girl. And here's the robe. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to rejoice because you're back." Let's pray. Lord, we sincerely, truly can rejoice in you and thank you for the precious relationship that we enjoy with you. Help us to enjoy it in the good times and to remember it and to experience it, not have to go through hard times just to draw closer to you. But I thank you, Lord, that when those times come, that you are there, never leaving us, never forsaking us, that your Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Lord, we thank you for doing away with the law and giving us something so much better, the fullness and perfection and maturity that you've granted to us through Christ. Bless now our prayer time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.